السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إنما الدنيا خلقت لكم وأنتم خلقتم للآخرة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable ulama, respected elders, dear brothers, mothers and sisters in Islam, the world that we are living in, that which we call earth, we know is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as Muslims do not believe that there has been no beginning to the world, and do not follow the theory of the Big Bang, wherein we say that substance has been living, or substance has been there from ever, and it was that substance that blew up and caused earth and the solar system and the universe, etc., whatever there is, to come into being. In short, we do not believe that we have evolved from what they say, animals. Yes, we can tell them that if you want your forefathers to be monkeys, they can be monkeys, we don't care. But my father is not a monkey. My father is Adam, alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. This is what we believe. But my dear respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters in Islam, what we need to ponder over is, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create Adam alayhi salam and his progeny? In short, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind? Mankind wasn't created just like that, for us just to come to this world and leave it. Like what Shakespeare thought the world was created for, wherein he said that all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their entrances and exits. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters in Islam, this is not a play. There is an objective behind our creation. And the hadith that I have mentioned explains this objective, wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ, that this world has been made for you, O humankind. So whatever you see around you, this has been created for you and no one else. But you have been created for something far greater. وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ, you have been created for the hereafter. So our being created in this world is not to spend our time in this world or live in this world for eternity, but our being created in this world is for the hereafter, which is everlasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elaborates this in the verses of the Holy Quran, the verses which I would say that are the gist of the objective of the creation of humanity, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ, that every being will taste death. We are not here forever. Each and every one of us sitting here, and each and every person from Adam alayhi salam till the end, and each and every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will face death, will come to an end. Then what about this world? What about all that we're doing in this world? Our a'mal, our good deeds. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of Qiyamah, you will get what you deserve. You made an effort to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is going to be the result on the day of Qiyamah. But if we have made an effort not to please Allah, or if we haven't made that effort to please Allah, and we have been going against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that's the result that we're going to get on the day of Qiyamah. How will we know whether our results are good or bad? Is above 50 a pass, or above 40 a pass, or above 35 in some cases? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's very clear. فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ. One who has been saved from the fire of hell and has been given entry into Jannah, فَقَدْ فَازَ, he has succeeded. He's passed. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be careful. If you want the pass there, be careful. There's something very tricky here. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This dunya that you're staying in, this world that you're staying in, living in, is nothing but a deception. It's worthless. It might look very valuable to you. Your eyes might look at something and say it's very valuable. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's worthless. Why does it look valuable? Because it's a deception. Allah has adorned it. Allah has decorated it. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in another ayah of the Holy Quran. Allah says, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That whatever is on this world, we have adorned it. And we have adorned it as a test for you. Are you going to get caught in this adornment? Are you going to go behind this worthless world, this deceptive world? Are you still going to make effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the test. This is why we have sent you to this world. To understand this, understand what adornment is. We all know that when we go to a wedding, there is a stage. And that stage has been decorated. And to our eyes, that stage looks very beautiful. But the same stage, if we have to go to next day, or that wedding hall, for that matter, if we have to go to the next day, then we'll see that there's nothing there. All that adornment is gone. It's just a piece of plank that has been laid there, that's all. There's nothing beautiful there. The world is the same, my dear respected elders and brothers. In reality, it's nothing. Because it's something which we will leave or it will leave us. This is not something everlasting. So it carries no value. But what carries value is the a'mal that we do, that effort that we make for the hereafter. That's the only thing that carries value in this world. So my dear respected elders and brothers, what we need to understand is that we have been sent to this world with a purpose, with an objective. And this world will be a barrier. The adornments of this world will be a barrier for us to understand the objective of the world. But my dear respected elders and brothers, Allah, who is the creator of mankind, loves mankind the most. So Allah will not wish for mankind to go into the fire of hell. So although Allah has sent us with an objective and has created this world as a barrier, but still to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us reminders from time to time. That's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent anbiya. More than 124,000 anbiya sent to this world with the sole purpose of guiding mankind towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds mankind from time to time through different ways. Sometimes it might be on a personal level through a death in the family, death of a closed one. Allah says, remember, if he can pass away, you will also pass away one day. Are you ready for your death? Sometimes it will be in a means of a calamity in the family, a great loss in business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. And sometimes it's on a public level, it's on a general level, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a natural disaster, saying that the All-Powerful is overseeing you. Are you pleasing Him? And my dear respected elders and brothers, one of the reminders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us every year is the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who loves His creation, one who loves mankind the most, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives mankind a chance every year. A chance every year, a reminder to Him. A reminder to Him, an opportunity to bring change in Him. An opportunity for Him to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An opportunity for Him to build taqwa inside Him. Wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That this fasting that we have made compulsory upon you, that we have made obligatory upon you, the objective of this fasting is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you attain taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the month of Ramadan comes, فُتِحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ النَّارِ, that the doors of Jannah are opened and the doors of Jahannam are closed. And وَصُدِّفَتْ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the shayateen are tied up. The shayateen that normally mislead people, they are tied up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us maximum opportunity in the month of Ramadan. He says in the month of Ramadan, doors of Jannah open, doors of Jahannam closed. So all that leads you towards Jahannam, everything closed. And shayateen who lead you astray, they are also locked up, they are also tied up, chained up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, oh mankind, this is an opportunity for you. Bring a change in your life. I have given you Ramadan for this. So much so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith Qudsi says, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ كُلُّ عَمَلِ إِبْنِ آدَمَ لَهُ, that each and every amal that the son of Adam does is for him. He'll get the reward for that on the day of Qiyamah and in this world. But إِلَّا الصِّيَامُ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, accepting for siyam, accepting for fasting in the month of Ramadan, that is for me. He's staying hungry for me. No one besides him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that he's fasting. And وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, and the reward for fasting is myself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, subhanahu. So my dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala urges us to bring a change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to bring a change in us. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every year gives us this month of Ramadan. Now, this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout history, if you look at it, people have responded to it in two different ways. One group of people have accepted this message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they have utilized this Ramadan to bring a change in themselves. That's why we see many a person that after the month of Ramadan, he's a changed person. His dealings are changed, his talking is changed, he's more punctual with his salah, he gives out charity more in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a changed person, his akhlaq has changed. Such a person is what Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls Al-Qayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. He's a clever person. Why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says a clever person, he is one who takes account of himself. Wa amila lima ba'da al-maut, and acts of his actions are for after maut, for after death. So this clever person will take this opportunity, make amal upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, create taqwa in him and make use of this Ramadan. But there has been another group of people. They know the message, they've understood the message. The message is given by each and every khatib in the month of Ramadan. They've understood the message. But they come under the category of ajiz, the unwise, the foolish ones. Wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna'a ala Allahi. That a foolish person is the one who follows his desires. And he has hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive me, Allah will forgive me. So this foolish person will say, okay, this year, you know, this Ramadan, I won't make use of it. Next year there'll be another Ramadan. I'll make use of that Ramadan. And he will keep on procrastinating. And he'll keep on saying, keeping hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying, no, I will try to make Ramadan, the next Ramadan I'll make it count. The next Ramadan comes, he says, no, the next Ramadan I'll make it count. And it goes on, and his death comes, and he hasn't utilized this Ramadan. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters in Islam, I would say the ball is in our court. Do we want to be the one who's clever, or do we want to be the one whom Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam identified as foolish? Definitely we would want to be the one who's clever. So let us make this Ramadan count. Let us bring a change in us this Ramadan. Now the question is, how do I do it? Because some of us sitting here, the first thing that comes to their mind is, yes, like you are explaining, I did try last Ramadan. When Ramadan started, I made an intention, you know what, this Ramadan I'm going to make it count. So from the first of Ramadan, I was very punctual. I was punctual with my salat. Fajr salah, we saw the masjid was full. So much so that the trustees were thinking we need to put up another floor. The masjid is so full. And Taraweeh salah, no space left on the ground floor. First floor, second floor, utilized and everything. I did try that. And the ladies too, in their homes, from the starting of Ramadan, mashallah, their musallas are out. After, when it comes after Isha, now this time is stipulated for Taraweeh. The whole family together is now reading Taraweeh. And there's an environment, there's a mahol. But give it a week. Give it 10 days. You see the number slowly decreasing in the masjid. Leave out the first floor, and even the ground floor is not full. There's a collected number of people who are there, but the rest are lost. Why? What happened to the rest? The child comes to the mother, oh mommy, why no Taraweeh today? She says, no daughter, today I'm tired, inshallah tomorrow. Next day she comes, mommy, why no Taraweeh today? She says, no tomorrow, and this carries on and is gone. Why, my respected elders and brothers? Because we are retired, hurt. After a week, after 10 days, we are retired, hurt. We are like that batsman, or that bowler, for that matter, that before the match, he did not prepare for it. He was enjoying himself. Said, I'm a batsman by nature, I can bat. Or I'm a bowler by nature, I can bowl. And he enjoys himself. Comes the day of the match, and what happens? He batted 10 overs, he can't bat through. He can't bat through. Why? He's retired, hurt. He didn't warm up for that match. He bowled 5 overs, he can't bowl through. He didn't warm up for that match. Yes, the cricket has created a solution for such people. They said, okay, for such people we'll create 2020, you know. They can't last full 50 hours, they'll at least last 20 hours. My respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept 30 days, and what come what may, it's going to be 30 days till the end of Qiyamah. So my respected elders and brothers in Islam, we have to warm up before Ramadan. Today our Ramadan has become like the 2-liter Pepsi bottle or Coke bottle. When you start pouring right at the beginning, it's fizzing. There's a lot of josh. But when it comes to the end of the bottle, there's no fizz left. Our Ramadans have become like that. When a week or 10 days of Ramadan is passed, we see that there's no fizz left. Why? Reason? We did not warm up before Ramadan. Before Ramadan, we were idling about. Till the 29th of Sha'ban, we were enjoying life. We say, no, when Ramadan comes, I'll get pious. Till the 29th of Shaban. So much so that 29th of Shaban, we don't want to see that crescent. When we walk, we walk looking down. Now in case I see the crescent, I have to fast tomorrow. Just one more day, one more day. After that, I'll get pious. But what happens when it starts that from the first of Ramadan, it doesn't last the whole Ramadan. We cannot make that Ramadan count. End of the day, we did a little bit of amal in Ramadan. When it comes Shawwal, we're back to zero, back to square one. This Ramadan has to be charger, has to get us charged for the rest of the 11 months. For that we have to prepare from before Ramadan. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sighted the crescent of Sha'ban, he would anticipate the crescent of Rajab actually. He would anticipate the month of Ramadan, he would prepare for the month of Ramadan. He would start reading the dua, Allahumma ballighna, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Oh Allah, bless us in this month of Rajab and Sha'ban and make us reach Ramadan. Give us the opportunity to witness Ramadan. That anticipation is there from the month of Rajab, 2 months before Ramadan. And it has been said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast excessively in the months of Rajab and Sha'ban. So much so that in the month of Sha'ban, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to think that he used to fast every day. That's how excessively he used to fast in the month of Sha'ban. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters in Islam, we should start preparing for Ramadan. Yes, in other matters we have prepared already. In our businesses, our stocks are ready for Ramadan already. We've started selling them also. At home, we are already prepared for Ramadan. We have already given the order, okay, for the month of Ramadan, I need all this. Our monthly rations or whatever has been already bought and stocked. This is for the month of Ramadan. Our ruhadzas and everything is bought, stocked for the month of Ramadan. But, have we really prepared for Ramadan? The actual preparation for Ramadan, have we done it? My dear respected elders and brothers, they say it's better late than never. So let us at least start from now. Let us bring a change in ourselves from now. Let us start preparing for Ramadan. Let us increase our nafil salah and our sunnah salah. If you are not praying the sunnahs before and after salah, fard salah, then let us start praying it now. If we are praying that, let us increase our nafil. Let us start praying our tahajjud from now. Let us start praying our ishraq from now. Let us start praying our duha, our awabin from now. Let us increase in nawafil. And let us create that khushu' in our salah. And let us turn to the ulama and make sure our salah is read in the correct manner. Sometimes what happens, 20 rakats of taraweeh we are reading every day, but our ruku' is not correct, our sajda is not correct, all that effort is gone in vain. Let us make sure our salah is correct. Let us take this opportunity, the 20 odd days that are left for Ramadan, let us take this opportunity to correct our salah. Let us increase in our fasting like Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. If we cannot fast excessively, at least on Mondays and Thursdays let us fast. Let us fast on the 13th, 14th and 15th of the month. These are fasts that were fast continuously by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every month. We did not do it all this month, let us at least do it in the month of Sha'ban. So that we are prepared for Ramadan when it comes. Similarly, let us increase our sadaqat, our charity. Whoever comes and asks from us, let us give him. Today, what has happened is, we are going by the hadith wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that do not beg in front of everyone, anyone. We are going by that hadith. And we are forgetting the hadith or the ayat of the Quran wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَا. That when someone comes begging, then don't turn him off. Give him something. If you don't know whether it's genuine or not, what's wrong in giving a few rupees? What are you going to lose? Yes, if you're giving a bigger amount, then yes, you could make research as to whether he's a genuine person or not. But he is coming and begging in front of you, what's wrong in giving a few rupees to him? So let us increase in our sadaqat. Especially women folk, let us increase in our sadaqat. The sahabiyya, they were such that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one bayan in front of them. They removed whatever they had and they gave it. Bilal radiallahu anhu collected everything. Whatever jewelry they had on them, they removed it and gave it out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us create that sifat in us. Let us give out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let us correct our Qur'an. Month of Ramadan is the month of Qur'an. Month where Qur'an should be read excessively. But so sad that some of us do not know to read Qur'an properly. We are reading Qur'an but we are not getting that virtue. Because we are not reading it in the correct manner, nor are we making an effort to read it in a correct manner. Yes, if we are making an effort and making mistakes, then Allah will forgive us, definitely. But if we are not making an effort, the same recitation of the Qur'an that we had in those times where there was no tajweed, if you're still carrying on with that, not making an effort, mashallah, today ulama amongst men and alimas also, mashallah, they have learned tajweed. We can turn to them in these 20 days and say, you know, I'm reading Qur'an, see if I'm reading correct or not. If I'm not reading correct, why don't you correct it for me? So that in the month of Ramadan, when we read Qur'an, it doesn't go in waste. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our Qur'an. And similarly, let us improve our akhlaq. Let us learn to control our anger from now. So that in the month of Ramadan too, even in that hunger, we are able to control our anger. Let us be soft towards the people. Let us show softness towards the people. Softness towards those who are under us, our employees, maids, etc. Let us be soft towards them. Let us show kindness towards them, like Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. So let us improve in our akhlaq. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters in Islam, in every aspect of life, let us try to improve from now, and not wait for Ramadan. So when comes Ramadan, we are prepared, and then we create that taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants in us. But, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters in Islam, the aspects that I want to discuss today are not these aspects that we all know, but are some aspects amongst others that if we do not correct or that if we neglect, then we'll be void of all the virtues of Ramadan. That is, we'll make amal for the whole of Ramadan, but those amal will be useless. Why? Because we did not correct these four aspects that I'm going to mention today. And the first from amongst them is the aspect of halal. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, when there is a drop of blood nurtured through haram in our system, then Allah will not accept our a'mal. We can fast the whole of Ramadan. We can finish as many Qur'ans as we want to. We can stay the whole night in Taraweeh and Qiyamul Layl. But Allah will not accept our a'mal when there is haram mixed in our blood. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam so clearly says in a long hadith, which starts wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is pure and Allah does not accept that which is pure. Allah accepts only pure. And whilst mentioning the hadith, towards the end of the hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلْ يُطِيلُ السَّفَرْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a person. He has been on a long journey. أَشْعَةَ أَغْبَرْ. He is disheveled. He is covered in dust. In short, he has got all the signs for acceptance of dua. يَمُدُّ يَدَيْهِ يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي. He begs in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raises his hand, يَا رَبِّي يَا رَبِّي. But Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِّيَ بِالْحَرَامِ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. What he has eaten is haram. What he drank was haram. He has been nourished with haram. How does he expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept his du'as? My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters in Islam, we might take it as something not so serious, but the aspect of halal is so serious that if there is a drop of haram, our a'mal are not accepted. And when it comes to halal, there's two aspects in regards to halal. One is our earnings. Our earnings have to be, or our wealth has to be earned in the halal way, in the halal manner. And halal earning can be summarized in one ayah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh you who believe, this is not for those who do not believe. This is for those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the mu'mineen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not earn the wealth of the other in the wrong manner. And ulama explain here, بِالْبَاطِلِ means any manner which is not accepted. Whether it be by lying, whether it be by cheating, whether it be by stealing his wealth. Do not earn the wealth of another in the wrong manner. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً. The only correct manner of earning another's wealth, إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. That it be a dealing in which both parties are content. A dealing in which both parties are content. Even if it's a dealing but one party is not content, he's forced. Even that wealth is haram. So my dear respected elders and brothers, interest definitely haram. Today so sad that when checks are returned, and I'm talking about Muslim customers, you ask them the reason, they say OD. Are they not scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those involved in interest, whether it be taking or giving. It's not only about taking interest, it's about giving interest too. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, four people are cursed. Amongst them, the one who takes, the one who gives, and one who witnesses it, and the one who writes it. All four of them are cursed. And Allah says, the one who's involved in interest, he is declared war with me. And who's got the courage to declare war with none other than our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected elders and brothers, let us earn in the halal way. Whatever little we get, if it's in the halal way, there'll be barakah in it. Today there's two reasons why people get into interest or get into haram earnings. One of them is greed. They are not content with what they have. That's why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so beautifully said, لَيْسَ الْغِنَى كَسْرَةُ الْعَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. That a wealthy person is not the one who has a lot of wealth,
But the wealthy person is the one who is content in his heart with whatever he has. Today, greed has led to interest. How? That when a person is earning and he wants more, he knows that he has to pay. He bought something on credit, it's overdue, he has to pay him back. But he says, no, no, let me roll this money. Let me roll this money, buy something and sell in that meantime so I get more. He's greedy. He got some profits, he's not happy, he's not content, he wants more. Now he invests in another place. What happens? Payments have delayed there. Or that person has taken the money away, he's not ready to give him. Now he has to pay that first person. He has no other means but to take interest and pay him. Take an interest bearing loan and pay him. Or what he does, if he has some fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's involved in zakat. Which is not encouraged by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my dear respected elders and brothers, one reason why people go into interest is greed. If we are content with what we have, there will be no reason for us to get into interest. Second reason, my dear respected elders and brothers, is excessive consumption. Israf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits us from israf. Allah says, kulu washrabu, eat as much as you want, drink as much as you want. Wala tusrifu, do not waste. Do not be extravagant. Do not spend beyond what is necessary. And Allah says, innal mubaddirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. That verily those who are extravagant are the brothers of shaitan. They can join their party. They are not in my party. You want to be part of my party? Then be content with what you have and don't spend beyond that which is necessary. Today, sadly, we see our weddings, our cars, our houses, all being extravagant, spending beyond that which is necessary. A simple wedding would suffice, but we want to show that we spend beyond our needs. And my dear respected elders and brothers, when we start consuming beyond our needs, then we'll start spending beyond our means. You consume only what necessary, you spend only what you can afford. But you over-consume or spend excessively, do israf, be extravagant, then you'll start spending more than what we can afford. And the ladies might think that this part of the bayan is only for the men. No, ladies play a very big role in this. Because sometimes it's the women folk that create that stress in men to spend more. They say, no, he spent so much in his wedding, so no, we should also spend. He's got such a beautiful house, why can't we buy one? He's bought a 5 series, why can't we buy one? Are we so poor that we can't afford it? Sometimes it's from the women's side that stress is created, wherein that man gives in and he says, okay, my wife is eating my head, let me buy. So he takes a loan to buy it. Now he cannot pay off that loan. So he'll be paying interest. So my dear respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters in Islam, so let us try to be content with what we have. And let us try to spend only in things that are necessary. Yes, if you've got extra, you give it to the poor, give it to those who need. But let us not spend beyond that which is necessary. We'll see that we will avoid acquiring that which is haram. The second aspect of halal is the food that we eat. Now yes, we will. The moment that topic comes up, we'll say we don't eat haram. We eat only that which is halal. But let us understand that the food industry is not as simple as we think. It's much more advanced. Today we have an orange drink with no content of orange in it. We have barbecue flavor which contains no beef, contains no meat. We are living in an artificial world, wherein sometimes the food that we're eating, if we ponder over it, half of what we're eating is not food. It's artificial substance. That's where the food industry has led us to. So mighty respected elders and brothers, it's not like those days where if the chicken or the meat is slaughtered in the halal way, then everything else is halal. No, mighty respected elders and brothers. There's more to that. Today we go to a restaurant and there the manager says, don't worry, I bought chicken from there, all the chicken is from there. We think, okay, mashallah, everything is halal and we carry on. Let me tell you, there's two qualities necessary in a person who can ensure that it is halal and in whom you can put your trust in. One of the qualities is taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person ensuring that the food is halal should fear Allah. If he has no fear of Allah, then he, for business sake, he will say it's halal and we will eat it. And how do you make sure that he's fearing Allah? We cannot look into his heart. We will look at his actions. Is he praying five times a day? Is he seen in the masjid? Is he seen amongst those who are pious? Then we'll say he's got taqwa. That's the first aspect. That may be there in a person. But there's a second aspect which needs to be there in a person for us to trust him. And that is, he must have knowledge of halal. If the person ensuring that it's halal is also a person who thinks that as long as the chicken is halal, everything is halal, then he does not have knowledge of halal. It's not only the meat today. It's the sauce. It's the mayonnaise that goes in. It's the spices that go in. They could contain substances, flavorants, preservatives, made from substances which are haram. Made from the fat of pig. Made from animals, parts of animals which haven't been slaughtered in the correct manner. And it's not restricted to restaurants. Today we're not safe in our bakery and in our confectionery too. Today the bread that we buy, I'm not saying it's happening in Sri Lanka, but a means of acquiring ammonia, which is an enhancer in that bread, is L-cysteine. And L-cysteine can be got from human hair. And human hair is haram to consume. So even in the bakery we have to be careful. We have to make sure it's certified. Our confectionery sometimes contains colorants and flavorants which are derived from haram sources. Like the red coloring we find in some of the Smarties that our children love. That red coloring is derived most of the time from cochineal. And cochineal is a substance got from beetle. Who from amongst us would like to eat crushed beetle? No one would be ready. And Islam does not allow us to eat insects. It's haram. So that red coloring derived from cochineal is haram. Or that red colouring which is called cochineal is haram, derived from beetle. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters in Islam, let us not take halal very lightly. Yes, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Innal halala bayyinun wa innal harama bayyinun." Halal is very clear, haram is very clear. But what you need to be careful about is, وَبَيْنَهُمَا هُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. Between them there are aspects which are doubtful. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the course of the hadith says, فَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبَهَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. One who has fallen into that which is doubtful has indeed fallen into haram. So it's not only haram which is clear that we need to stay away from. Even that which could be haram, we need to stay away from that. So my dear respected elders and brothers, let us not, if we do not eat in a certain restaurant or if we do not eat a certain confectionery or certain bakery item, we may not die or we may not lose anything. But if we eat that and it is haram, then it will affect our this world and the hereafter. So let us stay from those substances which are not only haram, but they are doubtful also. And mashallah, we've got a system in Sri Lanka to help us. They are always ready to help us. Let us help the system. Let us improve the system. It's not only their obligation, it's our obligation also. That we make sure that we eat halal. They are making an effort. There may be some shortcomings. So we should not sit on the stand on the sideline and say, you know, they are wrong about this, they are wrong about this, they are wrong about this. Let's see what we can do to help that. How much have we contributed towards that? They are doing us a service. If there is shortcomings, let us help them. So my respected elders and brothers, let us make an intention this Ramadan, inshallah, from today. In Ramadan, there will not be a single drop of haram in my blood. And all my a'mal will be accepted. I'll make sure from today that not a morsel of haram gets into me. Whether it be through my haram earning, or whether it be through the haram that I eat. And yes, if we have accumulated wealth earning through the haram way, let us dispose it. Dispose of it. Let us give it to the poor. That will cleanse the rest of our wealth. The second aspect, my respected elders and brothers, if not attended to, it will destroy all our a'mal, is our eyes. We have to safeguard our eyes. One of the methods in which we lose effect in all our a'mal is through our eyes. Because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, An-nazru sahmun min sihami iblisa masmumun. That these eyes that you have, the sight that you have, is a poisoned spear of shaitan, of iblis. He uses it to get evil into your heart. It's through our eyes that our heart blackens. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that every time we do a sin, especially through our eyes, a black spot is created in our heart. And slowly, slowly that black spot increases and increases, and our whole heart is blackened. And when our heart is black, whatever a'mal we do, the nur of that a'mal doesn't get into our heart. And there's no athar. There's no effect created. That's why we see, however much a'mal we do in Ramadan, after Ramadan, we are back to the same situation. Back to the same halat. Why? Because we did not safeguard our eyes. We did not control our gazes. It is said, just the other day, I heard about one of the great alims of today. Many of us would have heard Maulana Tariq Jameel Sahib. He's known for his memory. So much so that when he was in Sri Lanka, he mentioned through memory, not through looking into his notes, through memory, he could mention the family of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam right up till Adam alayhi salam. That's how powerful his memory is. So he was asked by one of his colleagues that how is it that you have such a good memory? He said, no, it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's one thing. He said, I have never looked at a non-mahram. I have never looked at a woman whom I am not supposed to look at. And he said, just once it occurred that my brother's wife, nowadays they're considered part of family, but they're non-mahram. My brother's wife accidentally came in front of me. And I just cast a glance on her accidentally, I forgot 50 ahadith that were in memory. That's the effect of looking at that which is haram. So my respected elders and brothers, let us safeguard our eyesight. Let us not look at those women whom we're not supposed to look at. Let the ladies not look at those men they're not supposed to look at. Just because the men are not in purdah, it doesn't mean that the women can look at the men. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this command in the Holy Quran, Allah says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. That, O mu'mineen, O mu'min men, put your gazes down. But the same ruling is repeated for believing women, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كل المؤمنات يغضلن من أبصارهن. That, O believing women, set your gazes down. And what will you get when your gazes are down? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, من تركها مخافتي One who lowers his gazes due to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll give him such iman that he will enjoy that iman in his heart. He will feel the enjoyment, feel the taste of that iman in his heart. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is what we need for Ramadan. To feel that iman in our heart. And for that, we need to control our gazes. And let us start controlling them from now. Let us not wait for Ramadan. Why? Then if we start controlling them from now, for Ramadan our heart will be clean. Ramadan, our heart will be ready to accept the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The nur of the ibadat that we do, the heart will be ready to accept. And yes, this is not part of the point, but ladies might question now, what about parda? I'll just leave you with one hadith. And I won't talk more on it. Wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْظُورِ That Allah's curse is upon the person who looks at haram and upon the person who allows himself to be looked at. And the muhaddithin say this is in regards to women who are not in parda. They allow themselves to be looked at by men. Allah's curse is upon such women. I don't need to speak any more upon parda after this hadith has been mentioned. Because when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says Allah's curse is upon such a woman, then there could be no reason for us to argue whether parda is compulsory or not. If you want the curse of Allah, be open. Do not put parda. Let the men see you. But if you do not want the curse of Allah, then be in parda. Don't show yourself to the men. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, this is the second aspect that we need to concentrate on, safeguarding our eyesight, safeguarding our gazes, lowering our gazes. And the third aspect, my dear respected elders and brothers, through which most of the time all our nuraniyat and all what we got from Ramadan is lost, is our tongue. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, or actually Sufyan bin Abdullah, he questions Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا أَخْوَفُ مَا تَخَافُ عَلَيَّ What is it that I should fear about the most? What is it that I should fear about the most? So Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held on to his tongue with his fingers and said, هَذَا This is what you should fear about the most. Why? Because this will destroy all your amal. All the good that you got from your amal will be destroyed through a few words. A little bit of ghibah that we spoke, all our amal goes to the next brother. We did some backbiting behind his back, all our amal goes to him. Gone. And if we got no amal, we get all his sins. Why? We spoke about him. And in Urdu they call it Be Lazzat Gunah. Some sins, okay, we can say as far as the world is concerned, some type of enjoyment is there. Maybe someone is watching a movie, maybe he enjoys it. Allahu alam how he enjoys it, but maybe he enjoys it. But here ghibah is a sin where he does not enjoy at all, he's just speaking, there's no enjoyment, but still he's accumulating sins. That's why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, safeguard this. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that one who takes guarantee, مَنْ يَضْمَنْ مَا بَيْنَ لِحْيَيْهِ وَمَا بَيْنَ رِجْلَيْهِ أَضْمَنْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ One who takes guarantee to safeguard what is between his jaws and what is between his legs, I take guarantee that he's entering Jannah. So you want to enter Jannah? Very easy remedy. Safeguard your tongue. Safeguard our tongue. Entering to Jannah is guaranteed by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yes, when we speak, we should speak that which is good or we should not speak. If you have got nothing to speak, stay quiet. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ The one who has iman upon Allah and the day of Qiyamah, he may speak that which is good, that which is beneficial, or he'd rather keep quiet. Today we see that Ramadan filled with a'mal, but what happens after Taraweeh? We all get together by a restaurant. You travel on Gold Road on Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. The number of people sitting there. And what are they doing? They're involved in vain talk. Talk that does not benefit them in this world nor the hereafter. In fact, talk that will harm them. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you have got nothing good to speak, then remain quiet. Because about ghibah, Quran says, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتَ. Would any one of you like to eat your brother's flesh whilst he's dead? فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Quran gives us the answer also. Definitely you will not like that. So mighty respected elders and brothers in Islam, when we speak ghiba, mothers and sisters in Islam, when you're sitting at home, let us take the Quran and read. Let us be involved in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But instead, if we get involved in ghiba, we are just losing out all what we earn. And some youths, it's even worse, that they tell their parents, you know what, we're going for Taraweeh, we're going for Qiyamul Layl, but they're not seen in the mosque. They get together with their friends and they're wasting this golden opportunity that they got. They're wasting the month of Ramadan. So my respected elders and brothers, let us put it into practice from now. Let us keep away from all vain talk. All talk that is not beneficial for us. All talk which will lead only to sin. Let us keep away from it now. So when comes Ramadan, we have practice for it. We will keep away from it in Ramadan. All our sins, all our a'mal will be safeguarded. But if you do not do so, what will happen? We'll make all out effort to do a'mal, to read Taraweeh, to read Qiyamul Layl, to read Quran, to fast, everything. But everything is wasted. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, many a person who fasts, he's just staying hungry, that's all. Why? He's involved in sin, he's involved in ghibah. So let us start practicing staying away from it now. And the fourth aspect, my respected elders and brothers, is strengthening family ties. And about family ties will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. That you'll be questioned on the day of Qiyamah in regards to family ties. How did you deal with them? Whether it be our relatives, far relatives, or our close relatives like parents, brothers, sisters, etc. Let us strengthen the family ties. If there's someone we're not speaking to, this is what I'm coming to. If there's someone we're not speaking to, and we haven't spoken to him or her for more than 3 days, then none of our a'mal are accepted. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if you have not spoken to your brother, that means you're angry with your brother for more than 3 days, your a'mal are not accepted. Many a place in the hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when talking about those a'mal wherein our sins are forgiven, all your sins are forgiven, there's an exception. Except those who do sever their family ties. Except those who do not talk to their Muslim brother for more than 3 days. So my dear respected elders and brothers, if there is someone like that, let us go and strengthen those ties. Let us go and tell him, Assalamu alaikum. I'm sorry my brother, even if it's his mistake. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, who leaves out an argument, even if he's on haq, he leaves out an argument, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah builds him a palace in the middle of Jannah. So let us, whatever is gone, let it be gone. Let us not spoil our future because of that. Because if we are in that state, and we are approaching Ramadan, and we witness Ramadan in a state that we haven't talked to our Muslim brother for more than 3 days, our a'mal are not accepted. Especially when it comes to our parents. Let us make sure that our ta'alluq, our connection with our parents is not severed. Many a time, especially youths, they might think they know better than the parents because they are in a more advanced time than their parents. When it was their parents' time or their generation, just the other day, one of the elders of my family was saying that we used to travel from grandpa's to Kolpiti to actually see what a TV is. To actually see what a television is, we used to travel from grandpa's to Kolpiti. But today we see it's on everyone's hands, everyone's palms. So yes, just because we've developed as far as technology is concerned, we do not become the cleverer one. We do not become the more intelligent one. Always remember, they have passed what we are witnessing now. So they know better than us as to how to handle the situation now. So let us not disobey our parents in any way. Just the last month I spoke that our parents are our road to Jannah or Jahannam. It's upon us to choose. So if we choose our parents to be the road of Jahannam, that's what we're going to get. But if we choose them to be the road of Jannah, that's what we're going to get. Because we might make a lot of a'mal in the month of Ramadan, but if we're disobeying our parents, all those a'mal are in waste. Because the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of the parents. So my respected elders and brothers, let us pay attention to these four aspects. And let us not spoil our Ramadan by neglecting this food. Let us firstly make sure that whatever we eat from today, from now, whatever we consume is halal. Let us make sure that our eyes are safeguarded, our gazes are low. Let us make sure that our tongue is safeguarded, that we do not speak that which is not necessary. Let us make sure that we do not have a grudge with any of our fellow Muslim brothers, which will lead to all our a'mal being annulled. I would like to finish off with a hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which mashallah each and every one of you have repeatedly heard in the month of Ramadan. That is, once when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ascending the minbar, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the first step and said Ameen. He ascended the second step, said Ameen again. Ascended the third step, said Ameen again. So upon this, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum inquired as to why he said Ameen. And one of the aspects, he said that Jibreel alayhi salam made three du'as and said Ameen to these three du'as. And one of the things that Jibreel alayhi salam mentions, one of the three was, a person who witnessed, may the curse of Allah be upon a person who witnessed the month of Ramadan but did not make use of it to get his sins forgiven. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is rahmatul lil alameen, he said Ameen to such a person. So let us not put ourselves in the ambit of that badwa of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but rather make this Ramadan count. Make this Ramadan a one that brings change in our lives. Make this Ramadan the one which brings us back on track, and make this Ramadan the one which allows us to fulfill the objective why we have been sent to this world, and make this Ramadan the one that allows us to acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us, give us the tawfiq to make 100% use of this Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to build taqwa in this Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to stay away from haram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to safeguard our eyes and to control our tongue. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create unity, create mutual love amongst the Muslimin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our a'mal. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.